You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, my friends. Friday morning has commenced on Wake Up Tucson on 1030 The Voice, KVOI, streaming at kvoi.com. You can check me out at dsimonehq.com.
Check him out.
Doing a lot of work with our friends at Live the Dream Media on our Wednesday podcast. So I'm overexposed, as they say, over at Santa Rita Park. So
I was going to talk to you about that.
Zinga. We had a beautiful night last night, Matthew and I, at the AdFed Hall of Achievement wingding at Hacienda Del Sol. So
indeed.
Thanks to all the crew for the beautiful
hospital. I didn't even do any spoiler alerts. Because I knew some of the stories already.
That's
because
true.
Of Wake Up Tucson.
It's true. Those were very fun. I love doing those interviews. They're very
yes.
fun, and they're always kind of like too short. And but just a good cross-section of people yesterday, right, in relation to what they do and changing media, right? Like, you know, Mitch from Cox Media, and then Bill from doing billboards, and then Daryl Durham from the newspaper, and then, you know, and then Becca and... talking about Doug Martin stories and the kind of the future. And, but talking about all these different, ways really that kind of who adapts in that changing media landscape was kind of part of my common theme in my brain as
yes.
I moved through there. Right. And a friend of mine who she's a, from back East, retired from the newspaper business. When she, after she heard Daryl, she sent me a message later and she said, you know, one of the biggest problems with the legacy newspaper, and she goes, she was part of it, was the arrogance to think they can just keep doing the same thing. And the arrogance of, and she, and the thing that hit her is when we were talking with Daryl about how he thought the newspaper peak was 1970. Right. And part of it was the fact that there was a, he's talking about there was a swagger, but it was also, we were talking a little bit off air about the content of being truly the fourth estate of holding power accountable. And then it just did a slow slide after that, sad to say. Thanks to our friend Betsy for this beautiful card with a beautiful Budo on it, and not a Juan Almanza Budo, but a friend of Smooch Budo.
All right.
A very nice card talking about, she sent us the, this. Everyone's telling me about this Frida's Cafe place over on the east side.
Yes, sir.
So she brought us sent us a menu. Of course, she's always boostering the Southern Arizonans for Nebraska Watch Party. And they're currently meeting at the old Fox and Hound, which I just want to tell you something. If you would like the most, there goes another advertiser, as you say.
Great.
Dumbest name for a place ever. When they changed it to something else after Fox and Hound.
Okay.
And then they went to this new name.
I can't remember.
It's called Champs.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, there's already a Champs place that sells, like, hats in malls and stuff that.
Yes.
So their original way to get around that was, it's Champs with two P's.
Duh.
And sounds like the food is getting worse there. So drink beer, bring your own snacks. That's what we say.
Beer has two E's and Champs has two P's.
Actually, at Champs, they beer has three E's in it.
With a, at the end, one on the end.
Very, no.
Very,
no, in
very
the
high
middle.
Class.
No, in the middle.
Oh, okay. Beer.
Can't make it up. Tomorrow, Austin Vanderhaden and I are going to be going through a myriad of propositions. We're going to do a presentation at the Northwest Republican meeting. It's up at the Gaslight Music Hall. And
you're going to have to use the Darth Vander. You're going to have to use the force to get through that ballot.
Absolutely.
You
and
know.
Him and I are going to be down at the park in OV after that. We're taking on any comers, two on two hoops.
Okay.
D-Train and
my money's on you guys.
D-Train and Darth Vanderhaden.
Yep.
So he's going to be driving to the hoop, smashing his face in the people, and I'm just going to be hitting some easy 15-foot J's.
My money's on you guys.
Actually, Anna might call about 6:30 to talk about that, or six, or no, actually in the next segment. So maybe I'm already jumping the gun. I apologize. Anna, still call up. What else is going on? So we have Dan Grossenbach's going to call up. He had a piece in the Arizona Daily Independent about school board campaign finance scandal in Cat Foothills School District. So he's going to explain that at 6:30. Juan Almanza from El
Not Russian collusion, nothing like that.
I don't think
Russian
so.
Russian influence of a school board election?
No paid escorts urinating on my bed or anything right
goodness.
Now. Juan Almanza.
Courtesans, please. Incontinent courtesans. Please.
Now, that would be a punk band opening up for Blank Knife for Rocco.
And the front man's Michael Steele. Yeah.
I can see Rocco. Opening up for my band Blank Knife is Incontinent Courtesans.
Hillary's their agent, you know.
They're a Jane's Addiction cover band.
But only the early Jane's Addiction, not the later stuff.
Correct.
Garbage.
And then Juan Almanza. And then Mark's doing top 10 Alec Guinness movies. And then Jason Bedrick from Heritage is calling in at 8-ish to talk about how ESAs actually save Arizona taxpayers money, not costing them, unlike racist Katie and her uneducated barbarian followers. So.
Racist Lying Katie.
Okay, that's also another band name.
Because she gets another moniker for that one.
The Racist Lying Katies opening up for the Incontinent Courtesans. I want to do a little mailbag here. Robert emailed yesterday, says, is there a group taking a no position on 140? And I'm still, even though I'm working on this thing, when they give me the numbers, I'm like, all right, I got to look that up. 140 is the open primary thing, and he wants to know if there's a group that's taking a no position. He says, I haven't seen any or heard of any. I haven't either, Robert, but if any of my smart folks, smarter than me folks who are listening, knows if there's a no on that open primary, a formalized one, I think the Republicans are taking. I don't know if the different party, like official party apparatus, which is of course is another band name. They are taking. It sounds like they feel like they're sliding towards a no. What else? someone sent me something about Liz Cheney. What was another good one? Debbie sent me this good one. This was good. Here we go. She goes, I was about to leave the city of Tucson, but now that I hear that arson's down, maybe there's some hope. After I went through those devastating crime numbers yesterday, about basically on a per capita basis, we have possibly four times the shootings of Chicago. So
tell the folks at Crossroads that arsons are down.
Correct.
Guillermo's or whichever one it was.
Goodness. Oh, that's true. But that was not in the time period of the stats. So
I see.
It's just in the last 2 days. All right. So real quick rundown. We got Harris campaign spokesman tells CNN, we don't have time to talk about what happened over the last few years.
Of course. Of course.
It'd
be harmful for her election.
Zero Hedge, America's top oil field terrorized by armed Venezuelan groups. Gangs. Sorry, gangs.
Oh, that's nice.
And this is, if you want the number one reason not to vote in Democrats and what's going on with your dollar and inflation and things, global cocoa deficit deeper than expected.
Yeah.
We got a real chocolate problem.
Now we've got a problem. Now we got a problem.
You know, you guys only get upset. America only get upset when we raise the price of cocoa, cocaine, and wine.
cocoa leaves. Which one was it that we're having?
Arizona faces massive lawsuit after refusing to remove illegal aliens from voter rolls. Victor Davis Hanson has a great piece about called Media Lies Add Up. And again, back to...
cumulative effect.
Katie Pavlich, is there a pardon coming for Hunter?
Yay, Katie.
Yes.
The answer is.
Laura Conover, the softest, worst county attorney, wants to make you believe she's taking people shooting each other seriously, not by going after prohibited possessors or putting criminals in jail We're gonna do our every 3 months gun safety locks giveaway. So, thank you.
Yeah, between the naloxone and the gun safety locks, their file cabinets are full.
Correct.
No briefs, just.
Thank you. U of A making dent in financial crisis, and they have some interesting quotes, like some students and things like that. New ownership in strip mall on Speedway and Swan, despite rise in violent crime.
Speedway and Swan?
Yes.
Wow.
But then, of course, there's a great quote from the lady who runs the Garden. That's the Garden District neighborhood over there. I don't know if you guys are you feeling the garden as the bullets whipping by your sunflowers. Okay, here's a story. This is when you have three-year-olds doing stories, okay? Kamala Harris, a small business owner, responds to Kamala Harris's tax relief plan. And there's a real business owner, and then there's someone that if you knew who he was, there's two real business owners. Well, but that guy sounds like he's doing a campaign ad. But one of the people that Maria Staubs interviewed is a total hack for the Grijalva machine, but we'll get there. I got we'll do it next. Tucson Unified School District gets approval to purchase EV school buses.
Oh boy.
Which of course our libertarian friends already gave us a heads up on this about 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
But
it may have an opinion on that.
It gets stupider.
Shocking, but
and then
shocking, get it electric. Shocking.
And thank you. And then we have Arizona. Chris Mays, former Republican, now Democrat hack, says there's no criminal wrongdoing by Sheriff Nanos in the Ricky Garcia case. But the headline is, I know you're going to be in. Are you sitting down? Is misleading. So let's go to the meat of that. And then what else do we got here? That's all good. That's enough. Let's go visit our great sponsors. Anna Clark's on the line. Talk about our Austin Vonderhaden event tomorrow. And then Dan Grossenbach is going to talk about a campaign finance scandal.
Is it 9 o'clock already?
Stop it. I'm killing that association of this amazing song with that horrible idea. It is ELP versus ELO. And after not playing any of the bump songs for the day until now, I have determined that ELP has already won the battle.
Scientific, empirical evidence.
Follow the ELP progressive science. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, it's ELP versus ELO on the Battle of the Bands today. And Dan Grossenbach coming up at the bottom of the hour, Juan Almanza, Food Friday, and Bunker start warming up top 10 Alec Guinness cowboy movies. Alec Guinness movies, sorry, that's what I meant to say. Let's go to my friend Anna Clark, the president of the Northwest Republicans, also the star of one of the greatest Puerto Rican Christmas food episodes we ever did in Wake Up Tucson history.
It's true.
So
I think we're going to need to do that again.
Hell yes. Hell to the yes.
You
brought the magic pork stuff.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
What do we call the magic pork stuff again?
Pernil.
That's right, the pernil. And then what's my magic Puerto Rican horchata stuff?
That's called coquito.
Coquito, that's
that
right.
That was amazing. Both were just amazing.
You know, I have to make sure and bring you pasteles. So, you know, Puerto Ricans kind of have a version of tamales, but it's made with, like, root vegetables. Kind of an acquired taste, you know, like when my husband tried it and some of his family, they were kind of like, oh, this is okay, but hopefully you'll like it. I love it. But then I grew up eating it.
The first question is there meat in it?
Yes.
Oh, we're fine. So.
Yeah, I'll have to bring those in. Those are a labor of love, though. Let me tell you, very labor intensive. There's a reason why we only make them for Christmas, because it is a lot of work.
That's why you and Jeff have three kids to start working on such things. Let's go.
Well, we got four. Don't forget.
Oh, four kids. Yeah. Sorry, four kids. Sorry. I apologize to whoever the fourth kid I forgot was. That's why you have four kids to make pastel. Come on, let's go.
That's right.
So we got a little wing ding going on at the Northwest Republicans tomorrow.
We do. One that I'm excited for. So, you know, I know you've been talking about the all these crazy propositions we've got. So 13, 14, I know we're hoping that the ranked choice voting is going to go down. I know that the state party, Republican Party, is challenging their signatures right now. So hopefully that one will go down. The ranked choice voting will be so bad for us here in Arizona. Just look at what's happened in Alaska. They adopted it, and now they're starting to super red state, starting to elect Democrats. What is that? So anyway, so that hopefully that one will go down. But there are 13 others, and they're ranging from limiting governor's emergency powers, death benefits, sex trafficking, unlimited abortion, which I started to see signs for those go up again, so that's good.
I did too.
Limiting property taxes, the border, judicial retention elections. I mean, it's like, holy smokes. How many do we need? But apparently we need 13, just this go-around.
Well, so, remember, 11 were referred and 2 were put on the10 was, because I know one, that open primary one is still in trouble of not actually being on the ballot, even though it might be on the ballot.
Right, yeah. It's also crazy. So I don't know about you, but maybe you know about more of it than I do. I sure don't. You know, it's going to make our ballot 2 pages, maybe even 3, if they all show up on there. It's going to be a crazy long ballot this time. So we got to know, and we got to have a little cheat sheet so I know how to vote. So we're going to have that. I'm excited. We'll talk about these things with, like you said, Andy Vanderhaden with
Austin.
Goldwater Institute.
Austin Vanderhaden.
Austin, sorry. Austin, I've got the name right in front of me. I still didn't say it.
Andy's
right.
His little punk brother. No, I'm just kidding.
So it's going to be really good. We also have the branch manager from BMO Bank coming to talk about how to guard ourselves against fraud. So that's going to be good, too. There's been a lot of fraud lately. People are getting more and more desperate. We know how the economy is going. So,
well, if you have a loved one in your life that's getting older and kind of having the cognitive slide, this is a real thing also. So.
Oh, it is. You know, and the bank actually reached out to me telling me just how much of a problem it's been as of late, and they're just trying to do everything they can to make sure that people can defend themselves against this, because it's just happening over and over.
Yeah, like I said, so tomorrow, are you guys going to have political signs that people want to pick them up to?
Yes. I've got Trump signs. I've got Lake signs. I've got LD17, Corey Rachel. I've got Vince Leach signs coming. We've got signs for our treasurer, Chris Ackerley, Heather Lappin.
I need a Lappin. I know I need a Lappin.
Yeah, so we got signs galore. So come on down. It's going to be at the Gaslight Music Hall tomorrow morning. Doors open at 8. I would ask if you register so we make sure we have coffee and donuts for you. So if you you can either send me an email at info@northwestrepublicans.com, or you can visit our website, register there at northwestrepublicans.com.
Sounds like we've got a good crowd coming tomorrow, so definitely seats available, but it's going to be pretty rocking tomorrow.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right, young lady. Thanks for all the work that you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
And if Matt and I need to come up to the house to help make pastel, we'll do it.
Oh, all right. You know, that's quite the adventure. We have to do it. Got to go down to Lily's and buy all the stuff.
All right. I'm there.
It's a fun
Let's make it happen, girl.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Anna Clark, la presidente of the Northwest Republicans. Again, me and Austin Vanderhaden are going to be there tomorrow, and we're going to go through a bunch of these propositions, because it's going to be a hoot and a holler, dude. You better go in there, and you're going to be one of the few ones not sitting there. If you come to this, you'll be ready to just rock and roll and do it instead of being there for 28 minutes and figuring it out. So one of our listeners, no mincing words, the pro baby killers are outside the Oro Valley Library again. Hey, just to let you kids know on that, where's my churches? Where are you guys? You guys going to be out there? Or we're just going to keep preaching at each other inside of our churches, in our safe spaces. Get out there, people. Let's go. Dan Grossenbach coming up next. Little Still You Turn Me On by ELP. The ELP songs really are the ones that Pat Johnston gave me. And then I do enough yes. I'd kill you guys with yes. So I said, let's go with ELP, ELO. So, because that letter thing, I thought it was cute. Wake up. Dave Ramsey. Get weird with ELO. Yeah, I really, you don't have to call the show, but please, someone tell me, email me, wakeuptucson@gmail.com. Let me know, message me, however you know how to message me. Are any of the churches coming out against this horrible infanticide prop? Right? We know Bishop Weaselberger will probably sell us all down the toilet on it so he can keep getting millions of dollars from the pro-abortion Pima County. So where are we at here? Where's my foothills? Any of those? Where are you guys? Is there anyone out there? I know Kathy Herod and those guys are coming out. There's a couple other groups. Please, if there's some sort of church out there that's coming out against this infanticide prop, I want to give them some love because the silence is deafening right now from churches. Let's go to friend of the show, Dan Grossenbach. I love saying Grossenbach. Dan, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, good to hear your German there, Chris. Good to see you this morning.
It's about as best as I'm going to get, my friend. It's about the best as I'm going to get. So I saw September 4th in the Arizona Daily Independent, school board campaign finance scandal at the Cat Foothills District. So explain to everyone what's going on. I feel like I need a Joe Higgins Venn diagram flowchart for this one.
It's not that complicated, fortunately.
Okay.
So, you know, it's... started off with this whole movement here of keeping the eyeballs on our school district, and there's other districts around Tucson where parents are doing the same thing over the last 2 years. This started, this recent scandal just flared up when there was a rumor that the other side, these establishment candidates that are trying to keep the status quo going, were raised $35,000. Some parents said, did you hear they raised $35,000? And for those unschooled in the school district elections, the average is about a grand. So for
that's pretty hot for a
exactly, yeah. And last year it did get up there. You know, I think the candidates had like 20,000 each or something like that, which is crazy. But we were looking into it, and one of the parents started peeling back the onion, and it's not hard to do. It's all public record, and we found that there's. We see the list of donors, and one of them jumped out at us. It was listed as a Mary Sundby, and I remembered that name when I looked back to doing some research on our superintendent who just retired after 28 years. Mary Camerzell did her dissertation in 1994 at the University of Nebraska under that name, Mary Sundby Camerzell. And I thought, no, come on. You know, why would she have a 30-year-old name on there? But sure enough, her donation, $3,000, and remember, the average is $1,000, $3,000 donation to her bosses within 60 days of getting her bonus.
Hold it. She's retired now?
She is now. Keep in mind, this is a 2-year timeline. This started in June of 2022. When it was the first time in 12 years candidates opposed the establishment board members in an election.
Right.
And she all of a sudden received this $5,000 bonus. And I'm laying aside the fact whether or not that was merited bonus, by the way, because there are plummeting numbers, historic low graduation rates, math and science, like a lot of districts, but ours is especially bad. She gets the full amount. And then three-fifths of that, $3,000, she turns around and gives back to her bosses who just awarded her the same bonus, is interesting. But it's not that out of the realm of possibility. When you look at the board minutes, Chris, I've looked back, and it's quite a riveting thing to do, the last 14 years of board minutes. If you ever want to fall asleep quickly, do that.
Well, that's why we have you on that wall, as we like to say.
That's right. I can sum it all up for you. Every single vote. Everyone, I'd say it's probably thousands of votes, is unanimous. Whatever the superintendent brings, no substantive discussion. No, hey, what about this? Stupid clarifying question sometimes, but nothing substantive. Just, yes, where's the rubber stamp? And so if you look at that, it makes sense that there's this back and forth money exchange to keep them in power. It doesn't take a tin hat to see that.
So... I assume there's nothing illegal about the employee.
That's a great question.
Right. So is it illegal for the employee to the superintendent to donate to her bosses?
Yeah, I'm certainly not accusing her of any illegal activity, whether it's moral or not. That's certainly questionable. Maybe she's just self-preservation and she's trying to keep her position because she sees a threat. Maybe if she's not doing her job very well, for example, and somebody sees that and wants to get in power and challenge that, that could be it. But is there something wrong with that? Self-preservation, right? But people that have worked with her for 14 years with kids in the district or, so the last 20 years or so, the people, the president of the board, they might know who she is when she hands them money. So they clearly know that there's something going on there where they are getting paid back from money that they just gave her in a bonus that they voted on. So at the very least, there looks like a conflict there. And the concealment is fascinating too, Chris, because the name is not a name that she knows she goes by, but in our little community, she's very well known. Everybody knows her as Dr. Camerzel. She's been here 28 years since I was in high school. And they just posted this Students First, CFSD Students First, the slate of candidates, the current slate. Because if you fast forward these 2 years, now we're in an election cycle now, and she gave, as a parting thank you, $1,000 to the current running candidates now going against the slate that we support. They announced all of their donors that were willing to go public to say, thank you. We appreciate it, CFSD Students First. Thank you. Here are the list of donors. Guess who was not on that list that they're publicly thanking?
Who's that?
Dr. Camerzel. Or Mary Sunby. Sorry.
That's the part that, of course, everyone's listening going, why would she use her maiden name to make the donation? That's for
that's
me.
The question. Yeah. And maybe there's a great answer for that. We can only see what it looks like, and it's not a good look.
Well, they're opening the door to the challengers to say, to have a little fun with that and start putting some doubt in the relationship between the electeds and the employee.
Well, and this is exactly the kind of thing that fired up so many parents 2 years ago in 2022, when all the parents started showing up to board meetings. They had to close it down because of a fake threat, and it just got a lot of drama that was unnecessary. And now we have excellent candidates. Jennifer Repsher, who's endorsed by the Tucson, Arizona Association of Realtors, because they see the writing on the wall with the property values. You have the Arizona State Superintendent Tom Horn endorsing both Bart Pemberton and Jennifer Repsher. It's a strong movement, and it's all parent-driven, but really out of base principles like this: transparency, protecting girls' sports and privacy, all of the plummeting academic performance that we see, the just indoctrination of activating political activists. I think they have an activist club at the school, and obviously it's all on one side of the political aisle.
Now, are they still doing the thing where the kid doesn't have to tell their parents if they want to use their pronouns or that other horse crap?
Yeah, they do. They do. And that was the pronouns in the gender, but I've pressed them on that, and they're not willing to tell us where they will tell parents anything important as far as their kids' mental health. They have, even though the kids aren't at the age of consent, they are willing to give consent to kids to hide anything from parents. I mean, if I don't know if they're pregnant or if they're in gang activity or if they're in, if they're suicidal. I mean, if they're not reporting a gender dysphoria, which they're not trained or licensed to diagnose anyway, by the way, that's a whole other issue. What are they telling us? And they wouldn't tell. Mary Camerzel just shook her head and said, that's ridiculous. So she wouldn't answer the question.
Listener Mike says, is this the same Cat Foothills board that ushered Rex Scott to the front of the line to the call of the public on the gender thing?
It is. He went in front of me. I was there.
You filled out a card, right?
Well, no, I couldn't get that far. No, we were probably 100 people back in line wrapped around the building.
Gotcha.
But yeah, he got in.
Has the District 1 big stuff of fluff, full of crap, Supervisor Rex Scott, has he stroked any checks to any of the incumbents yet?
He has, and he's been thanked publicly.
He
donated in 22 and he donated this year too. So he's fully in the mix. And, you know, a lot of these people don't know what's going on. That's the challenge, Chris. You know, all the big news splash that we see, Trump and Harris and Ukraine and Israel, all this stuff is every second it's in the news. But you can't reach your neighbor about corruption in our own school district. I mean, half of them are leaving for other places, so they kind of see the writing on the wall in their own way when it affects their kid. But it's really hard to get this stuff out there. So, you know, a lot of these donors that are donating to this CFSD Students First don't know how bad it is. And so I'd love to be able to let them know so maybe they could ask for their name to be removed. I wouldn't want to be known for supporting this.
Well, Dan, keep us notified. I know there's a forum coming up that I am moderating with the great Dan Shearer, coming up in early October, I believe.
I think all the candidates have been invited to that, from what I hear. So yeah, it should be a good way to compare.
Well, keep us notified on what's going on, as always. And like I said, this is what we do on Wake Up Tucson. We're focusing on these local stories, and I'm glad you were there, and I'm glad you wrote the piece out there on ADI, and the idea that she used her maiden name is actually a real problem.
Well, thanks for getting this out there, Chris.
All right, my friend. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Dan Grossenbach from Catalina Foothills parent. Let's go to break. We got Juan Almanza coming up in about 15 to 18 minutes. It's Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. We had Lake and Palmer on the show before on Wake Up Tucson. They were great interviews. And we lost Keith and Greg in the last few years, sad to say. Carl's still touring. But 6:46 in the morning, I got to get through Tabs like in 9 minutes, like Barry Allen, The Flash. Mr. Blue Sky, that's what they call me down at City Hall in Tucson when I walk into the room. There's Mr. Blue Sky. So, you know, I just get a little disappointed with all the human fecal matter out there. Great memory came up. It was me, BBG, and Higdog sitting at this table right in front of the Metropolitan Education Commission building, which was next to Chaffin's, which is now the closed down Welcome Diner that no one wants to put a business in. But we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And they had a weed, because we're about weeds, right? We had that J.D. Wallace story that said, when there is rain, the weeds grow. Thanks, Copernicus. Okay. Now, that picture is where you couldn't walk on the sidewalk because the weed became a bush that blocked the sidewalk. So our take was, what if you're someone in a wheelchair or something that needs to get down the road? This is why the city of Tucson is now. That's from 2013. That picture, 11 years ago, TUSD, or as you, I know the math thing stuff. Okay. Only in the city of Tucson could they let the weeds get out of control so bad that it's an ADA violation. I mean, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. So now everyone's sending me their weed pictures because I'm asking people to send their weed pictures. It might no, Dimitri, not that kind of weed. We're going to do... So maybe we need to go back to the Weed of the Year Award. So what I want you to do, I'll talk to Rocco about some gift cards and stuff. We'll do a Rocco's gift card for the Weed of the Year. Again, Dimitri, not that kind of weed. Okay. All right. Weed of the Year. Send me pictures. And me, Matt, and Van Buren will sit. We're going to be the judging panel of what is the Weed of the Year.
Can't be half Kentucky bluegrass and half Sinsemilla.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know. Now last time we did this years ago, Joe Higgins won the Weed of the Year award, which was one that was growing so long you couldn't see it because it was going sideways.
Mm-hmm.
When he picked it up, the weed itself was 8.5 feet long.
Yeah, I remember the picture with El Parador and the El Parador sign in the distance.
Correct.
Yeah,
Joe held it up like he caught a muskie in the Great Lakes. It was great.
Got some lovely filth here, Dennis.
You know, so we've had some great weed pictures, so I think it's time to bring back the weed. All right. And one of my favorite ones, me and Higdog were at Medindetto South 12th, and this thing looked like a tree, but it was growing out of a crack in the street on South 12th, right in the middle of the road. And it looked like it was like, and I really wanted to, like, I said, Higgs, let's go to, well, it was Christmas time. Let's go get like some garland and put it on that sucker.
All it needed was a little love.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie Brown.
It's like the scene in Jurassic Park. Nature finds a way.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
Is that an Alec Guinness
There's
movie?
Also the part where Laura Dern puts her hand in that big pile of dung.
Thank you.
That's also very reminiscent of Tucson. So now,
I'm going to go wash my hands again now.
So you figured that Chris Mayes is not going to come down too hard on Chris Nanos because they're the same party. Okay? And you're going to see these headlines, no criminal wrongdoing. Okay? Here's the thing. It's the idea that they said, while no criminal wrongdoing was funds, the sheriff's department may have violated four of its own rules. That's still a problem. It's also still the point of getting rid of Chris Nanos. And this is up to Lappin at this point. She's got to start pounding him on these things. She's got to start pounding him on the jail deaths. If you want Democrats to vote for you, Heather, you got to start pounding on the jail deaths. Remember, the jail deaths and the him pulling the sheriff's deputy from the Board of Supes, that's why the Democrats aren't endorsing him. I mean, I need to, where are a couple of parents who've lost their kid to Nanos' jail? Do you understand why that's a problem? What if it's the idea, like, let me tell you why it's a problem. You got a 21-year-old kid, maybe he's having drug problems, whatever's going on with his life, and you would hope that as he's getting adjudicated, right, you know, and with Laura Conover, as we know, there is no speedy justice. It takes years to, you know, be adjudicated. But you would hope, so what would be the positive, like, you know, outcome you'd like is the kid went, oh, my God, I can't believe I did this. And blah, blah, blah. There's a scared straight moment. There's a hit bottom moment. There's you go get help, right? And the young man cleans himself up, gets sober, right? And starts the road back to life. Well, if you die in Chris Nanos' jail because they don't know how to do Narcan, you get beat up by one of the other people, or there's more drugs flooding in there, right? If you're the parent of one of these like 19-year-old kids that died of an overdose because they got drugs in Chris Nanos' jail, you would have thought, I know some parents that like their kid's got a drug problem, they're usually happy that their kid got busted because they get them away from their buddies and their drug dealers. Well, not in Chris Nanos' jail, right? So what you did was you robbed that young man or woman of that chance of making their life better because Chris Nanos' jail is a death trap. It's the other Thunderdome. So when you see this, don't when it says that there's criminal wrongdoing, it didn't clear him of wrongdoing. They're literally saying that four rules were broken by the sheriff's department. So don't let that crap fool you.
And it was a puzzling response. I didn't see the whole thing, but Nanos responded. He says, only four rules that were violated. I've got a huge administrative code book. There could have been hundreds of rules violated, but we don't know till we start our internal investigation. Like, did that make it better? One of the rules violated, by the way, is not helping a fellow officer
That's
who is in
huge,
danger.
Huge.
Or who could be in imminent danger. That's kind of a big one.
So Ricky Garcia is accused of raping his subordinate officer at the holiday at a holiday party
where there were coworkers
all over the place. So number one problem is all members are required to take appropriate police action towards aiding a fellow peace officer or department member exposed to danger or in a situation where danger might be pending, unquote.
Yeah. And the other one,
and he's like, oh shucks, it was only four of them.
And the next rule, even if you're off duty, you're still on duty.
Oh, that's right. When you're off, right. When you're off duty, you're always on duty.
I don't know if that applied to commissioned officers or everybody, but it says the rule is you're to behave as if you're on duty, whether you're on duty or off duty.
See, everyone's been telling you, Napier, me, Lappin, all of these folks, Aaron Cross, Don Barkman, right, that Nanos is a train wreck, and it's basically him and his command staff that are buddies terrorizes everyone else, right? That's been the common theme here. So let me tell you something, Nanos. When they say that you violate, this is like the number one thing in relation to your department, is you're not taking care of each other in a situation of danger. Who the hell would want to work for you? Basically, Chris Mays, who's in your party, is saying that it looks like you guys, In this situation that you've created, the dynamic of your command team, that you're not looking out for your own officers.
And he delays investigating.
Remember, that's right. So he said, oh, we don't do IAs during criminal investigations, which Don Barkman, who's been in the department for 30 years, has said, that's horse crap.
So if that one rule is being broken, you think it would be better to expose that and correct it sooner rather than later, to me. That just makes sense.
Look, Nanos is handing this to Lappin, but she needs to pound him, like, mercilessly. Juan Almanza and Mark Van Buren, two of my favorite people. One of them I do play pickleball against. Wake up.